Lord and mighty is His name. Amen. Blessed be Your holy name, our Lord. Great God of heaven, our Creator, we bless Your holy name. The name above all names, Jesus Christ. There is no other name that can stand next to Thee, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, that we all have that name, the power of Your name. And we all receive the salvation from our great God Almighty. Because of Your sacrifice, because of Your love, because of Your truth, because of Your grace and mercy, because of Your revelation that who You are to all of us. Thank You, Lord, that we are standing here today as the parts of the Word of God. And we stand firm upon the foundation of God, the chief cornerstone, Yeshua, Yahweh is salvation. Lord, may You bless us, Lord, today. That we remain as the parts of Your word. We remain as the promises of God. We remain as Your testimonies that we are meaningful, purposeful, and useful for You and Your ministry. In whatever the way it is possible, O Lord. Your heart is always about the salvation of Your children, redemption of Your seeds. Help us, Lord, to fix our goals upon what the Lord wants to achieve. Not what we want to receive, but what the Lord wants to achieve, what the Lord wants to fulfill. Let it be the only desire of our heart, O Lord. For we are called to follow the Good Shepherd. We are called to follow the Redeemer, mighty Deliverer to the battle. Help us, Lord, to be equipped. Help us, Lord, to grow in our faith. Help us, Lord, to be able to understand the work of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the direction in which the Ark of the Covenant is traveling. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes fixed on You. Lord, we ask for the Holy Spirit to speak to all of us today. Fill us, Lord, with Your Spirit. There is nothing else we can ask that can stand with us forever. Lord, we ask Your Spirit. And that is all we need, O Lord. That is the heavenly kingdom that we all can seek up to. We seek Thy Spirit in our life every day. Fill us, Lord. Fill our cup, Lord. And Lord, today, may You be with us. Walk in the midst of us. Touch us, Lord, and speak to our hearts that we continue to learn from You. We continue to allow the work of God to prune ourselves, for the day is approaching. And Lord, we must be prepared. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray for the presence of God. Fill all of us in Your holy tabernacle, for the fear of God have dominion in this place all the time. Continually, as we continue to keep our lamp to burn continually before Thee, to intercede, to stand in the gap and to remind You of how merciful You are, how gracious You are. Have mercy upon the land. Have mercy upon all of us. Forgive us for whatever that we did, whatever that we said that is against Your will. Lord, we are weak. Forgive all of us, Lord. Wash us and we will be white as snow. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and in the victory that we all receive by the blood of Christ, we receive and we declare and we submit at Thy feet. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for everything. We thank the Lord for the wonderful worship. We are all blessed. When we sing with all our heart, when we sing with whatever the best, when we all became able, then that place is nothing but Garden of Eden from which we were thrown out. Because the Lord can bless us to enter into His holiest. The Lord can bless us to enter into His presence. That is Garden of Eden for us. That is the promised land canon for us. When we come with all that we have, then the gates will be opened automatically. Amen. We don't need to go and search for some keys. All that we have is the key. Whatever the best that we have is the key. The Lord knows our ups and downs. The Lord knows our weakness and strength. But He also knows what is the best you can provide. What is the best you can give. Because we are created in His image, in His likeness. Amen. When the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient to thee," it means You give all Your all to me. Because we are called the part of the word. I can't keep anything with me. A part of the word
cannot hide anything as a part of its own. We are part of the world as a whole, and we give ourselves back to Him, and He makes us complete in the body of Christ. So by God's grace today, we will continue to meditate on the parallel events of the prophet Jesus Christ and his prophet Elisha, Elijah, Moses, Abraham, all those servants of God in the Old Testament who are nothing but who came and proclaiming what is going to happen to all of us when the Lord of Lords, King of Kings come down, the visible presence of Almighty, our Savior, one true living God. Amen. So when the Lord comes and speaks, whatever is going to happen, how He is going to redeem, how He is going to expand His kingdom, in the Old Testament, they were teaching all of us in physical form of doing things. So last Sunday, we stopped at what happened to Naaman and what he spoke and how Elisha handled the situation. He did not try to please men, but he was focusing on the pleasing the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that is resting upon him, that is guiding him. Yet, the Bible says our faith, we must clear off everything, our conscience, our consciousness, the way we present ourselves, the way we declare the testimony of God in our life. It has to be very clear that God and His children are served. Not more, not less, isn't it? Because God is in His children, but the children cannot overcome God. The service the children of God can never overcome the service that we do for God. But yet, you cannot say, I only serve God, I don't serve anyone. But the Lord would say, surprise, I am in them. He called us to serve Him by serving His seeds. He called us to serve Him by serving His ministry. He called us to work for Him to build the house, to build the tabernacle, to build the wall. For what? For the people. Everything in the scripture from the Garden of Eden up to the book of Revelation, it's nothing but God bringing His children back to home. God redeeming His seeds and keep them in the place where they are supposed to be. That work is the ultimate goal. Amen? That is the ultimate goal. Everything we learn, books, doctrines by God's grace, for us to be equipped for what? So that the Lord can use what He taught you at the right time. Someone who is confused, someone who is hungry, thirsty, and he can drink the water from you. It could never be used for argument. Amen? Never. The Lord has given us a spirit of truth. We can discern. If someone approaches you with the argumentative spirit, you should flee. You are not called to fight all the battles. Amen? But when someone is hungry, thirsty, you give everything you have. You give everything you have. They will drink. Deep, call it from the deep. So, when Prophet Elisha was inside the house, when Naaman came in his horse and chariot, very important words, isn't it? Horse and chariot. He came and he stood before the house at the door. Amen? So, let's remember what we meditated. So, Naaman says, I thought, isn't it? He used the word, I thought. I have purposed some thought. I wanted this healing come to me in such a way. I thought the prophet would do what I see in the scripture. Because for Naaman, he don't know New Testament. For Naaman, he know whatever happened before 2 Kings, based on the scripture record that they had, or the historical record that they study as a family, as a people in those times. They could only look back and see Abraham, Moses, oh Samuel, okay. So they could only see from the history, correct? So whatever that he see, Naaman might have thought, I would receive the same, in the same manner. But Elisha said, told the servant, carry this message and deliver to him. And what is the message? Wash and thou be clean. Go to the river of Jordan and wash yourself 7 times. That's the message. So now, from where this anger came? From where the wrath came? Because wrath of man worketh not towards the righteousness of God. Amen? Never. So he was wroth. Because he is well respected. He is called as a great man of honor. A captain brought victory to the kingdom where he is part of. And for a moment, his flesh overcame. His flesh had dominion over his mind. And he was wroth. And he said, He turned away, isn't it? He turned away. The blessing is standing for him to receive, but he turned away from the blessing, very similar to the wife of Lot. The deliverance was with her. How? By following the husband. Amen? Not looking at the city of Jericho, but following the husband upon whom the Lord's anointing, the Lord's spirit is leading him, because the Lord's work was upon him. The two angels came for Lot. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Because of Lot, the family was saved. But yet, the free will, the permissive will, could circumcise you from any blessing that is reserved for thee. Prophecy is failed. By how? You can take a scissor, cut yourself, and get out. In your life, it faileth. The redemption was there, promised for Lot. The Lord would never, ever say something that won't be fulfilled. It was fulfilled. But in order for the wife of Lot to be excluded from that promise, she had to do something on her own, disobeying something, thinking something that is more than what the Lord says. So he turned aside. She became a pillar of salt in the very same place. But Naaman did not go through such a severe punishment. Uzziah did not go through such a severe punishment. They were not killed, isn't it? The Lord led them to live. Uzziah was a leper all his days. That's all. He was not struck. He was not killed. Naaman was also a leper all his days so far, as of now. When he was wroth, he turned aside. Then he told himself and he told those who were around him, there is better river than Jordan. There is better house than this house of this prophet. There is better servants of God from whom I can go and find shelter. I can go. I can always search and find someone who is better than you. Let's have a very simple question to ourselves. In the same wilderness, 40 years of journey, isn't it? If the Lord formed two groups, divide the multitude, one led by Moses, one led by Aaron, the Lord says, whoever reaches first Mount Nebo will enter the promised land. Whoever comes second, I will destroy you. Now, these two groups are family, isn't it? They were all captive in unity in the land of Egypt. But if the Lord divided them and introduced a race among them, if he tells them, I will lead you by pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. I will lead you by pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. Isn't it? If these two groups, on right, on left, if they strive for mastery, if they strive for finishing the race as quick as possible, because to land the promised land, to reach the promised land, at the cost of the destruction of one more group, the moment they take one step forward, the pillar of cloud will lead them. The moment they think, let them be destroyed, let me find life, the pillar of cloud will lead them. Then the pillar of fire will not stand with them, because God is holy and he is light. In him there is no darkness. The very step itself, the journey is over. Forget about it. You can reach Mount Nebo, you can reach wherever you want, but what they will do, you know, they will kill each other. By the time the Lord is waiting in Mount Nebo, only dead bodies will come and fall at his feet. Because both the groups, the Lord put a command. I will lead you by pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. I will lead you by pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. One spirit, nothing less, nothing more. Different seasons. Amen? So what the two groups say? Lord, why are you dividing us? One spirit, one God, one faith, one unity, one savior, one redeemer, one people, one family, one house. So whether we live or die, we are the Lord. Whether we fall or rise, we are the Lord. Whether we win or lose, we are the Lord, because there is only one spirit. There is only one spirit. Naaman says, are these rivers better than Jordan? Are these prophets are better than this prophet? So there is a mighty, strong Holy Spirit in one place, and strong Holy Spirit in one place, and Holy Spirit in another place, and Spirit in another place. You have the weighing scale to prorate the Holy Ghost. Can Naaman do that? What is the definition of prophet? Forget about flesh and blood. A water pot of stone filled with water. Amen? So what is the water? The spirit. What is the cup? Your mouth. You serve, the Lord speak. You serve, the Lord speak. And if that pot became very dirty, filthy, the Lord will take time to clean the pot. He'll make it to be worthy. Isaiah says, I am unclean. I am undone. The Lord says, I will wash you, prepare you, clean you. Just endure my suffering. I'm going to scratch you. When you are ready, when you are ready to speak my voice, I will fill you. Isn't it? So now, if there are two water pots of stone, Naaman says, this water pot of stone is blue color, not to my liking, but the water has no color. This water pot of stone looks like red color, that is not my liking, but still it is better than the blue. So I would choose the red. My brethren, water has no color, no odor. It is transparent. Doesn't take any side. The Holy Spirit inside the water pots of stone is all that matters. Isn't it? Because one Spirit, one healer. So, if I run from this land because I like winter, I go to a land that is winter now. Few months down the road, that land will have summer. Then you will chase another land for winter. Another land for winter. You will chase winter. You will lose the land. You will lose the house. You will lose the river. In the end, you will be called a winter man. Because you chase winter. You like winter. You want cold weather. You chase weather. But the Spirit of God is not in the seasons. The Spirit of God is not in the flavor. The Spirit of God is not in the earthquake. Not in the storms. It is life. Spirit of God is life. The closest experience that you all can have is think about the life that is in you. Can you explain? Can you write an equation? Can you tell me how precious your life is? No one can measure the value of someone's life. There are contract killers. They kill people for money. They think I can value this person for this money and kill him. No, if you look at all assassinations, they are doing for money, isn't it? But that money, they think they were able to own that life. What if that life that is going to be slain for the name of the Lord, it says, Lord, I pray for the revival of the land, dies. Now tell me, what is the worth of that prayer? How much you will pay? And the Lord says, because of this prayer, I'm going to shake the land. I'm going to revive the land. I'm going to redeem the people. Countless. Tell me, how much you will pay? So, the Lord is teaching a lesson for ages, for church ages. From the life of Naaman, when he said, I wanted this in this way so that I can agree to receive the healing. You don't get to tell Jesus how you should heal me. He decides how he heals you. Because he is the healer. The last time we checked, he is still the savior, not us. We can never be him. We can only be conformed to his image. His goodness, his beauty, his works. So Naaman was supposed to be destroyed. Hear me. Because he turned as the wife of Lot. But something happened. Unknown servants of Naaman. Not the servants of Elisha. The servants of Naaman who were with Naaman. Who love him. Respect him. Who truly wants him to do good. Who truly wants him to live. If they thought, good. This chief captain is walking towards resignation. He's going to die. One of us will replace him. A seat is open. A vacancy is open. Let him be accursed. Let him die. It's an easy way of the Lord is making a way. Naaman, goodbye. And goodbye. It's been a pleasure working with you. It seems you invited the death upon yourself. You can go. Don't worry. There are 12 servants that we are working for you. We will decide who is going to be the next Naaman. Matter of time, right? Because he was a great man of honor. Chief captain. Not a simple person. But yet the servants went and told him, my father. They didn't tell him my master. They said, my father. Because Naaman is not a young person. He said, my father, my lord. The prophet said, wash and be clean. He didn't tell you, filthy, you will die. He said, wash and be clean. What is wrong in that? What is wrong in that? Pattern is the same. Always the same. When Jesus speaks the truth in love, the enemy will put a filter in your ear. He's hurting you. He's offending you. Just don't listen to what he say. Just get yourself sad. Get yourself angry. Hurt yourself spiritually. Loathe yourself. Don't sleep. Go crazy. Have disquietness. And tell the Lord, Lord, I can't take it anymore. What the Lord said? To live is Christ. Amen? He never said, enjoy pain. He is not someone who let his children to suffer and just have some wine and just enjoy and merry looking at the children suffering. No. He carries them in his bosom. Every time a child of God suffers, remember, the one who suffers more than you is the one who created you. Parents know. If a terrorist takes your child and tells, I'm going to give him 10 different torture, you would say, take me, I will go for 20. Isn't it? If that happens for earthly parents like us, filthy people like us, what the Heavenly Father would do? God gave His only Son for the salvation of all. Was it easy for Him? His complete manifestation of God's Word. And in Calvary, the Lord says, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? Oh, what a simple question for us. Can we forget the question ever in our life? You know what does it mean? Every time we do something against God, against His Word, against His congregation, you tell the Lord, my God, I'm forsaking you. And Jesus said, why thou hast forsaken me? God in His children. Children are the reason what happened on Calvary, isn't it? So when Jesus said, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? The Lord telling all of us, children of God, children of God, children of God, tabernacles of God, temples of God, house of God, whom God dwells, why are you forsaking me? I am the one true living God. If we are the children of God, if we are the part of the Word, we should understand there is only one Spirit. There is only one Spirit, one true living God, but there are different seasons. Different seasons with appointed times of life. The Lord takes time. So now, let's remember this and imagine if the servants of Naaman were not with him. If Naaman went alone, dealt everything alone, decided everything alone, and decided to go to the river alone, he is gone. He is dead. The servants followed him. Then he sings a song, Lord, your goodness and your mercy running after me. Then what is the goodness and mercy running after Naaman? The servants of God, who are also called the servants of Naaman. Then what do you? Who are you? Servant of him, servant of her. We serve one another. Anyone can become Naaman, and anyone can become the servant of Naaman. Amen? But there is only one master. He himself washed your feet. So let's be careful, yeah? Let's be careful. He himself washed your feet. So no one is indispensable in the servanthood of God, yet he called all of us kings. So now, the servants of Naaman is the unknown heroes in this chapter. Prophet Elisha is there. He said, wash and thou be clean 7 times. That's it. But the promise is standing here. In order for Naaman to come and take it, he who turned aside with anger, sadness, disquietness, pain, this and that, which are not godly, isn't it? There's a godly burden, there's a godly anger, and don't tell yourself, I'm angry, because God told me to be angry. Be careful. When you are godly angry, God is in you, and you don't even know what's going to happen to you. Zeal of the Lord of hosts taking you over is not something you change your garment. That is a divine event, very rare in the scripture, like Phinehas throwing spear, where there is Moses, Aaron, Eleazar standing, and Phinehas being a small boy, he threw a spear, compared to the three I'm saying. Why you cannot compare that event, like Uzzah who hold the ark, and Phinehas who threw spear? You celebrate this event, and you tell this event is disobedience. Why? Because of the fruit. If Uzzah was not struck, if the Lord says, because of Uzzah's zeal, I did not consume Israel, then all of you would say, we all can run before the ark. We can do whatever God said. As long as it's in the scripture, we can do. Uzzah was struck. But Phinehas, who threw spear, despite there are 3 servants of God who is above him, in terms of age and calling, Moses, Aaron, Eleazar, and Phinehas was not the next high priest, it was Eleazar. And Phinehas is the son of high priest. But what the scripture says, the fruit of God's servant will get the job done. Forget about flesh and blood. And there was one vessel at that point of time, the Lord would see, and he said, I'm going to dwell in you. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. The spear was not thrown by Phinehas. It was thrown by God. Phinehas simply submitted to God, and he said, Lord, take me over. Zeal of the Lord of hosts. So, Phinehas on one side, Uzzah on one side, Uzziah on one side, Naaman on the other side. What is common? The prophets of God. Moses, Elisha, and Isaiah. Isn't it? In the time of Uzziah. When Uzziah died, last Sunday we saw Prophet Isaiah, he began his prophetical ministry. So something is interconnected, right? A death of a king, then Prophet Isaiah says, Lord, Send me, Lord. The Lord says, well, you know, nobody's in the throne. The Lord of this land is gone. I don't know what to do. Isaiah says, Lord, send me, Lord. I know, that's why I asked you. He said the same thing to Moses. Moses said, no, I can't go alone. I need my brother Aaron to be with me. The Lord says, of course I know. I already informed him. See, when the Lord is speaking to us, when the Lord says, I want someone to stand in the gap for me, remember this. He says, I am the great I am. I am the who I am. I am going to stand in the gap. I just need an empty water pot of stone for my spirit to fill in, for my water to stay there. People can go and drink. So Elisha is nothing but a simple fountain of life. And Naaman goes to drink water from him. And fountain of life says, just stay there. I will take a cup and I will pass it to you through someone. And Naaman says, no, you fountain of life, come here. Come stand before me and heal me. You know how ironic it is? You command the Lord what you want. You command the work of the Lord how you want. That is rebellion. It is beautiful that Naaman was not destroyed, but rather the Lord showed him mercy because he did good things in his life. He was a good man. It just was frustrated. He was angry because of his pain, because of his sufferings. He was changing garments here and there. You cannot judge him. If you were put in the situation, you could have killed Prophet Elisha. None of us are worthy, isn't it? So he was angry. When you are angry, you make mistakes. He turned away. And the servants of God, who are called servants of Naaman, they hold him. They said, Naaman, you are a righteous man. Do not turn to the wicked ways. Turn back. They hold him firm. And they spoke to him the life again. So what Prophet Elisha said was not to be listened by Naaman. But what the servants of God said was able to be received by Naaman. You know, I told you last Sunday, the key is not with you. You may think the key is with someone. The Lord would surprise you. The healing of Naaman was not with Prophet Elisha. It was with the servants of Naaman. Why? Prophet Elisha spoke, wash yourself 7 times in the river of Jordan, you will be healed. It's a prophecy. Correct? Naaman says, forget about it. I am angry. I am turning away. Prophecy faileth. Correct? The prophecy is there. But it failed in your life. You didn't take it. So he turned away. Then the servant came, dragged him, come here. Come. Come. I will call you in goodness. I will call you in love. I will overcome your evil by doing good. By how? Said, my father, prophet said good things. Why are you rejecting? If he says something mighty, you would do it. But if he says something simple, you won't do it. Then whom you worship? Great things of God or great God? Two different things, isn't it? The Lord says, oh, my children, I am the Lord Almighty who never lost a battle. Do you want to join my company? He said, yes. Wow, he never lost a battle. Look at it. Look at the track record. 0 losses. I join your company. Okay. Then all the people, they drag you out of synagogue. They carry the stone in their hand. They round about and they aim at you. You say, hey, you are trying to kill me. The Lord never lost a battle. His mighty deliverer is he. He burns away all the enemies. He opened the earth, devoured Korah. He sent flood, destroyed the earth. You say all the mighty things of God. And there is deep silence in heaven. And the Lord standing in the cloud at the right hand. And he's watching you. He says, Lord, I saw the contract. It says you never lost a battle. Of course, yes. It says you will deliver me from the out of the hands of all the enemies. Oh, of course, yes. But everybody is taking stones. They are aiming at me. Looks like they are going to hit me. Of course, yes. Okay, I will wait until you come with chariots, horses to come and destroy them. I'll wait. But he never came. He was simply standing and watching from the cloud. So how do you discern the scripture? And the Lord said, Joshua, no one can stand against thee. What do you want? How you want the scripture to be fulfilled? Whom you don't want to stand against thee? The faith of Stephen was standing in the midst of all those around him stoning to death. And that faith of Stephen, the spirit of Stephen was standing unharmed, untouched. And he told the Lord, Lord, everything is spoiled. It's okay. Take my spirit. It is untouched. It is blameless. Completely preserved. No spot by the Holy Ghost until the day of my redemption. Oh, today is the day of my redemption. Lord, receive my spirit. I'm giving it to you. Take it back. Resignation, reconciliation, I'm giving it to you. Because the Lord won't take it from you. He says, give it to me. Abel sacrificed, not served. Amen? He sacrificed. He was not working like a slave. He sacrificed with all his heart, the best of his best. Cain was comparing himself with Abel. That is why he got angry. Naaman was comparing himself with the healing that he's going to receive. I want this, this, this. I want that, that, that. Do not premeditate. The scripture says, if people corners you, don't even premeditate. What you shall speak at that point of time will be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Amen? But Naaman came with a premeditation. I want this. I want this 9-course set meal. If you change the sequence, I'm not eating. If the spicy is high, I'm not eating. If it is too sweet, sorry, forget about it. But the Lord would say, today is a fasting day. Surprise. No food for you. He would say that. Why? You won't worship God if it is fasting? Let's say for the next 6 months, no sermon. Every Sunday we come. Sing songs. 2 hours straight. Would you say, no food in the pasture. I'm going to leave. Oh, is it? If you go to the promised land, who will give you a sermon? Do you think in the promised land there is going to be sermons? But there is going to be praise and worship. Isn't it? Praise and worship would not stop. Sermons may stop. Why you won't talk about sermon when you go and be with him? What you will preach? To preach? Oh, repent and be baptized. Come on, you are the promised land. There is no time for repentance. So what is going to be forever is what we are marching forward to. But for that, there is a perfection pruning needed, and we need healing. We need cleansing. If you are sick, you need healing. If you are unclean, you need cleansing. Both are same. If you are unclean, you need to be cleansed. Both are same. We are dead and now we are alive. Both are same. Dead, alive, unclean, clean, sick, healed. All same. So now, last Sunday I finished by saying the whole story was all about Gehazi, not about anyone. Because the Lord knows Naaman would say this, that's why he sent the servants, right? The Lord knows Naaman would say this, he sent the servants. If the Lord did not send the servants, then he can't sing the songs, your goodness and mercy is running after me. The servants are running after him. Come in the horse and chariot. Don't worry, you will speak the right word at the right time. They followed him and they spoke at the right time. They hit the bullseye. And Naaman received. He went and washed 7 times. He was healed. So now, the one who was supposed to be destroyed was not destroyed because someone spoke gospel to him. Someone preached gospel, not a prophet, but someone in the middle. Someone evangelized to him. In the right way, not in an arrogant way, in the way of humbleness and love, in beautiful, still small voice. They spoke, they didn't curse him. Now, Gehazi is the servant of Elisha. Amen? Not the servant of Naaman. So Gehazi is who? Gehazi is like a servant of Abraham. Whom Abraham says, do this for me, do this for me. And the young man, he did everything. And Gehazi is like a right hand of Elisha. He's doing all the work for him. Not just in this incident, but in so many examples. We will go there. Now, today we will focus on Gehazi. Because Naaman's life is beautifully preserved by the mercy of God. Amen? By the mercy of God. Now, Gehazi, who is with Naaman very closely, who is with Prophet Elisha all his life as a servant, and he saw what happened to Naaman, he's observing everything. He's witnessing everything. Now this Gehazi is like a servant to Prophet Elisha, right? In other words, he's a servant in the ministry of Prophet Elisha. Correct? He is doing the work of the ministry the Lord gave to Prophet Elisha. Correct? Now turn your Bibles. We will read first 2 Timothy. Last Sunday I wanted to read 2 Timothy. But the Lord pushed me to read today, this Sunday. Let's read 2 verses from 2 Timothy. Then I will ask Brother Soil, will you read the verses for me later? I will read 2 Timothy first. Then we will go to Leviticus and 2 Kings. 2 Timothy, moving forward, I'm going to write the scripture here so that you all can see. I will write it in a bigger font. It will also be used for the YouTube, you know, those brethren who are joining us online. This is to help us to manage the computer screen. So 2 Timothy. Can someone confirm, is it big enough for to read, Sister Lillian, okay? Is it big enough? Yeah. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. And verse 1 to 5. I will read this. Thou, therefore, my son, chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It was not simply sent out. The grace in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness. What is hardness? How can I endure hardness? What do you mean? I know long suffering. What do you mean by hardness? What is hardness? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Our brother said in the worship, don't be just a follower, be a disciple. Amen? The one who do the work of the Lord and the one who work like God and do the business of the Father in heaven. Disciple. And now the Lord says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So there are bad soldiers, of course. Those who the Lord used to spread the name Jesus throughout the globe are also the same people who do it for money and evil intention. But it is not your problem. The Lord will take care of it because the Lord can change them. If you look very deeply, the Lord uses both good and bad, and He will spread His name across the earth. One way or other, every flesh would have heard about the name Jesus Christ. Then He knows when to send the Holy Spirit. He knows. He is so beautiful. If Ahithophel is a good counselor, then think about the wonderful counselor. How he will strategize beyond our mind, beyond time, beyond what we can think of. He do things in a very subtle way. So the Lord is spreading His kingdom throughout the earth, with or without us, through His servants or through His enemies, through good and bad. He will know how to get job done. Now the Lord says, be a good soldier. The Lord says, this is what I want. He says, this pleases me. Be a good soldier, not a bad soldier. And first of all, we must be a soldier. Because soldiers protect people. If there are no people, then why soldiers? Let's say all of us are standing at the corner of the wall, okay? Sitting on the wall with archeries and swords and spears. Enemies are coming. And we look inside the city. Nobody is inside. Then why I am called to be a soldier? We are people of the city. So what the Lord says, I am working in the midst of my people. I am redeeming my people. Every land needs good soldiers of Christ who cover them in prayers, who cover them in faith, who cover them in desire, who shield them by telling the Lord, Lord, you are merciful, you are gracious. Remember your promises, Lord. I remind you by how I stay sincere to you. So the good soldier of Christ is important for the Lord to do the work in the midst of His children who are not the soldiers yet. When He gives them the truth, when He equips them with the armor of God, He will say, your time is up, go to the world. Now He will work on some other child. Correct? Because there was always a group of armed people before the Ark of the Covenant. When Joshua was telling the people, follow the Ark, but there was a set of people who were called the armed men. The Lord equipped them. The Lord sent them before the Ark. For what? Like a forerunner. Prepare the way. John the Baptist, prepare the way. Our prophet, last age, such as prophet Branham, prepare the way. All the servants of God, prepare the way, prepare the way. The Lord equipped them. But still they were slaughtered. They were slaughtered. But there is not a slaughter. That's the most powerful sacrifice they can give one last time before they finish the journey. And the Lord would take all the tears, all the blood drops, and He will keep it. He will store it in His bank. It has a multifold interest. When the time comes, He will say, my servant shed his blood, suffered, cried, 1,070 years ago. Okay. And this many years I waited. So now I have multifold interest. I'm going to do something great. Something mighty. Isn't it? The Lord says, the blood of righteous Abel cried unto me. For what? Why are you talking about this 4,000 years later? Then what was the outcome of blood of Abel? You don't know. You can't measure. If the blood of Christ can wash the entire humanity, all of us who were born, who are supposed to be born, then why the Lord allowed His apostles to shed the blood? Why the Lord allowed His servants of God to die for Him as martyr? Why the Lord tell all of us, embrace the fellowship of my suffering? Why He is telling? He just don't store the blood. He also store our tears. The righteous tears of the righteous people. He store it. And He will do some miracle from it. He will do something wonderful from it. Because He hath not done anything without a cause. Now the Lord says, endure the hardness because I have a plan. Endure hardness. You can do it. The Lord says, I know who is my child by the way they endure the fellowship of my sufferings, because they can never do it without my comforter. So now the Lord says, endure hardness. Okay, Lord. No man that warreth entangleth himself, entangleth himself. That is where the problem comes. Naaman was telling himself. Naaman thought himself. Naaman did himself. And the servants of Naaman came and said, no. The wisdom of God would never be established when you think about everything yourself, when you premeditate, when you presume. The wisdom of God is not for you. The wisdom of God always established in the midst of the fellowship of God's children. Two or more. Two or more. Amen? Two or more. So many families here, if you think my family is two or more, let's remember, the Bible says, man and woman, they marry and they shall live alone, leave the parents, and they shall be one flesh. Why? You live with them day in, day out. You speak to them day in, day out. They know your frequency. He know your frequency. Your parents know your frequency. You are all in the same furnace, cooked by the same boiled water. You are all cooked in the same way, to the point whereby you may all think same, speak same, believe same, influence one another in such a way that you will validate one another. Be careful. One or more. No, two or more. Apostles, they went to house to break the bread. Not just the bread, to break the confusion, to break the understanding into true understanding, to break the misunderstanding, to destroy chaos and confusion. Why? The Lord's wisdom will be established when we say what we go through among the children of God. Two or more. So if the servants of God, Naaman, were not there, if Naaman is alone, let's say he is with his family, let's say he has wife and children, and they all would say, Father, we obey you, because you are the head of the house. We go wherever you want. Okay, all you go, fall into the river, thinking it is better than the river of Jordan. If he had done that, it would have become an act of rebellion. But he was stopped before the act was committed. By who? The words of the servants of Naaman, who love him truly. Speak the truth. They were not silent. So now, thinking about all of this, the Bible says here, a man entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Soldier. Wow. The Lord says, I have chosen you to become a soldier. He gave us a title. Servant of God is a soldier of Christ. We have to fight the battle of our mind, fight the battle of our flesh, fight the battle of our surroundings, our life. Every day is a battleground for us. Not a physical fight, but a mental, psychological fight, isn't it? So now, verse 5 says, and if a man also strive for mastery, which one? Yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be the first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, why verse 7 says, consider all that I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. What a beautiful verse it is. He did not say, hey, you better believe it, okay? I will destroy you if you don't believe it. And the Lord, Apostle Paul says, consider, what does it mean? Contend with yourself, contend with the word of God, justify your life and actions with the Lord in his word, and if you cannot do it, submit, yield to him. Lord, help me. I need your help. Consider. Free will, permissive will, it is addressed in the scripture, all the chapters. The Lord would never go against your free will. He would never drag you. He would never force you. He would let you do whatever you want. If you force him, I will do this. The Lord says, go. He won't stop you. When Naaman was wroth, the Lord did not speak to him. It was a servant who decided to stand in the gap for him. Lord, we stand for him. Like Moses, who stood in the gap for the entire people of Israel. And those servants stood for one man, Naaman. And for one woman, Miriam. Aaron stood. Aaron is not one person. My brethren, he represents the entire multitude of Israel because he is the high priest. He bear the iniquity of all the holy things on his forehead. He bear the Urim Thummim on his chest, on his fold, the 12 stones on his breastplate. He bear the entire multitude of Israel on him. And he tells Lord, we sinned. Don't destroy Miriam. And the Lord says, 7 days of leprosy, don't journey, okay? All wait for her. Everybody waited. Everybody waited for one Miriam. If we say 7 days of waste of time, 7 days of quietness, 7 days of waiting period. No. What I did wrong to face this delay because of Miriam? You say that. You know what will happen to you? When the time comes, you will be the Miriam and the journey will not wait for you. Because you said, right? You said it by yourself. You said, I can't wait for Miriam, for one person. And if you become that one person, the Lord say, let it be as you said. Correct? He will say that. I'm not joking. Because you said that. That's why we are called a part of the word. We have to be very careful what we speak. Because you can fulfill things upon yourself. You can do that. So, when Naaman was walking towards the path of destruction, because of the Lord's goodness and mercy, not because Naaman was a great man. Remember this. Not because Naaman was a great man, because God is great. God is good and merciful. He delivered him. Now, before we focus on Gehazi, I wanted to meditate the word soldier, because we must endure hardness. Last Sunday, I showed the video of crabs. For what? Not for a joke, right? God's creation. What is the beauty of a crab? The shell is extremely hard. If you talk about hardness, did you see in that video, a small crab went against a Goliath of that big stingray, attacking the stingray with the small two tiny hands. I was like, are you stupid? This much tiny? What the crab would say, I'm not focused on my size, but my shell will save me. Correct? My shell, the hardness of my shell would make the enemy not to be able to consume me. Why? Because the shell doesn't belong to me. You are clothed in spirit. You are all sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. The armor of God is nothing but the beautiful representation of the Spirit of God. Spear of truth, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. Oh, everything is in the Spirit of God. It's just a representation. Have the Spirit, you have the armor. The enemy will come and hit you, scratch you. Don't worry. Endure hardness. Hustle like a soldier. Because soldiers would never fall. They know how to fall back. They know how to attack, right? But they would never quit the battle. Because they are called soldiers. Either they will fall back or march forward, but they would never quit. Fall back is not quitting. King Saul threw a spear. Let's say I am King Saul. I throw a spear to Brother Henry. And Brother Henry would not say, Lord, save me. Brother Henry knows God gave you feet. God gave you mind. You know how to evade. And you know how to flee. And the spear hit the wall. David did. So can David say, I'm a mighty soldier of Christ. Come spear, come and hit me. Come. It will hit him. He will die. Because there are battles in which you are supposed to flee. There are battles in which you are supposed to hide. And there are battles in which you are supposed to go and stand as a soldier of Christ. All are battle. Now read 2 Timothy chapter 4. Chapter 4 verse 1 to 8. Brother Joel, read this for us. I'm glad he used the word evangelism today. Please read for us. Chapter 4 verse 1 to 8, brother.
I trust thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom.
Amen.
Preach the word. Be instant in season.
Amen.
Out of season.
Amen.
Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
Amen.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables.
Fables.
But watch thou in all things, enduring afflictions, do the work of an evangelist.
Amen.
Make full proof of thy ministry.
Amen.
For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight.
Amen.
I have finished my course.
Thank you, Lord.
I have kept the faith.
Yes.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness,
Amen.
Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day.
Amen.
And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Look at the finishing. That is a true servant of God. He did not end by saying, I have fought a good fight, not because of me. I had a thorn in my flesh, it's because of God. He didn't say, I will receive crown of righteousness. He didn't stop that. You see what he says? He says, not to me only. That is where the agape love of God is standing firm in the life of the servant of God. Not to me only. I don't want to be the only one who is well and doing good. Not to me only. I don't want to be the only one who is saved. Not to me only. But unto all, not some, but unto all, them, also that love is appearing. That is evangelism. An apostolic evangelism. And Apostle Paul is teaching left and right. What a servant he was. The wisdom the Lord put in his heart. And the way he wrote all the scripture to all the churches. Can't imagine how much the Lord revealed to him. He only showed us some. Do you really think brother can share everything with you? Don't think like that. Maybe 10% of what the Lord revealed to him was given to us. The rest between him and the Lord. Because he's a child of God. The Lord will speak to him freely. And he don't have to come and tell you why. Because what is fruitful for the salvation, the servants of God will speak. What is between him and God, they will keep to themselves. Because it is none of our business. That's why we can never think, oh, I have studied the life of Brother Branham. I know what he did. All the goodness of his life is not like a collection of orange. You make squeeze them and make an orange juice. Oh, the entire life of Brother Branham, I studied. Now the orange juice I drank, or the essence of it, I have it now. Don't fool yourself. Not even 0.1% we might receive just by thinking these thoughts. The Bible says, the whole earth is not sufficient if people start writing books about him. I'm not saying, Bible says that. The whole earth cannot contain the books written about him because he's that great. So, the Lord says, focus on the Spirit of God, focus on the work of the Spirit of God, and focus on why God is doing all of this. What is his end goal? Think wisely why the Lord is doing all of this. What is the fruit of it? Focus on the fruit. Because that is how the soldiers can endure the hardness. Lord, I'm going through all of this. Forget about it. Look straight. David was going, walking in the Kidron. He knows he will come back to the throne. And Cushai is cursing. Shimei is cursing. And David is listening. Oh, it is not fruitful. Let me keep my eyes fixed on the fruit. Let me keep my eyes fixed on the journey. If I endure, I endure. Once I finish my enduring, he will give me back the crown of righteousness. In the physical way, he got it. In the spiritual way, we will all get it also. But you don't walk because of that. You walk because of this. Not to me only, garment of service. A garment of a servant. Not to me only, but unto them all. That's the love is also appearing. Who is appearing? God is love. He says, I am appearing. The Lord appeared unto Saul. The love of God appeared unto Saul. And Saul could not stand in the love of God. He said, Master, what should I do? You don't even know whom you're speaking with. But Saul said, I submit. Tell me, what should I do? He submitted. He became apostle. Amen? He became Paul. So now Timothy is where we start the sermon today. I hope the words are clear for the streaming as well. Praise the Lord. Let's turn the Bible, your Bibles, to Daniel chapter 12. Before I go to Gehazi, our dear Gehazi, who is in all of us, let's deal with him today. Daniel 12, chapter 12, verse 1 to 10, brother. Please help to read it for us. Daniel 12, chapter 12, verse 1 to 10.
And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people.
Thy people.
And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Contempt.
And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased.
Amen.
Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half time. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished.
Amen.
And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end.
Amen.
Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But wicked, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Many shall be purified and made white. Prophet Isaiah says, Lord, wash me, I will be white as snow. All the people who were sick in those times, they come to the high priest and tell the high priest, it seemeth unto me something is going on in my life. That is stage one. It seemeth unto me something is going on in my garment, my service, my work of the Lord. Stage two. It seemeth unto me something going on in my house. Three stages. House, garment, man. But same treatment. 7 days of shutting down, 7 days of sealing, 7 days of quietness. And Daniel is talking to God, Lord, you call me as a prophet, you call me as a servant, you speak to me, you are, Lord, I want to know. And the Lord says so beautifully in verse 9, imagine, you could have seen the same words in all the prophets. Samuel, go thy way. Ananias, go thy way. Isn't it? The Lord said the same. And he says to Daniel, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Till the time of the end, the appointed time of the Lord, known only to him. Known only to him. All the secrets. And what is so beautiful here is verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The Lord told Daniel, shut this for me, seal this for me. And the Lord tells Daniel, go thy way, Daniel, I'm not revealing to you. So, what do you see here? What do you see here? Go thy way, Daniel, for the words of the Lord are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. So now, verse 8, Daniel says, I understood not. Beautiful. I heard, but I understood not. So we all heard the words of the Lord in the scripture. We listened to songs, testimonies, sermons. But when we could not live, we understood not. What is true understanding? I have a driving license book, and the license book says, travel at 60 km pace, turn right, turn left, speed breaker, traffic signal. I learned everything. Okay, give me license. The inspector will say, you haven't even showed me whether you can drive. Show me. What Apostle Paul say? By God's grace, he will bless us to prove, show, shew thyself. Work out your salvation. Shew thyself. Exercise your faith. Shew thyself. Live the word. Shew thyself. Understood not. They heard, understood not. They listened, understood not. They could even speak about it, but understood not. Until that word comes to our life in terms of action, we understood not. Because faith without works is equal to what? Death, not life. Faith without works considered dead. And the Lord says, consider what I said through the apostle. Consider that you receive understanding. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and chapter 4. Remember? So now, this is what happened between the Lord and Daniel, the time of trouble, concerning time of trouble, but verse 2, same chapter. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Don't simply say, praise the Lord, thank you Lord for saving everyone, hallelujah, stop it. The verse is not over yet. Many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake. Wait for the Lord to finish his speech. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The priest shall pronounce unclean and clean. Not just based on 7 days waiting period. Not just based on whether the plague came or plague did not come. If the plague was keep on coming, if the garment is becoming keep on filthy and dirty, if the house was keep on breaking out, no matter how many times the Lord, the high priest replaced the stones, apply the right mortar, every time we take the right mortar, throw it away, apply our own mortar, bring our own stones, there comes a time the Lord would say, enough is enough, I'm not going to prune you. We would say, blessed be the name of the Lord. The last time I suffered was 10 years ago. Yoo-hoo! The Lord is with me. Mighty deliverer is he. Stephen would be looking at you. Oh no. How we are going to learn? The Lord did not deliver Stephen. You know, the harlot who was delivered from people who were about to stone her to death, she was delivered. But the chief servants of God, that holy man of God, was threw like a meat to the wolves. Which one is powerful? A harlot delivered from the incident of stoning to death, or a holy soldier of God, man of God, who stood for the faith, although the flesh was destroyed. Which one is good testimony? That one. Because they were trying to kill his faith. They could not. And 2,000 years of sermons about Stephen. He lives because the word of God is living through him. Nobody could kill him. I saw some people send me some video links. The seventh church messenger is a false prophet. He's a cult. This and that. He died so long ago. Why they are still working? There are still groups who are sending messages, you know, issuing books. Don't believe him, don't believe him. I was like, it happened the same. They call Jesus false prophet. They call Apostle Paul false prophet. People who hate Brother Gan would never sleep. They would still hate him. He died. No. You will go and find him in hell. Please go and try. The hatred has no reason, my brethren. The plague has no shape. No eyes, no image and likeness of God. It looks like something that is not life, but it has something on it. Hatred, offense, anger, frustration, disquietness are the sign that the enemy is having dominion over you. You can cry, you can be burdened, but the joy of the Lord would never depart you. You can go through mourning with the joy in your heart. Because you know that God is with you. But if you are filled with disquietness, filled with unbearable burden, something out of the way. Because the Bible says the Lord would never let you to bear anything that you cannot bear. If that word is true, then you cannot say it is unbearable. It is bearable. It is painful. Bearable. Extremely painful. Bearable. I can do it. You can do it. If you believe. So somewhere unbelief entered. Somewhere self-understanding entered. And Daniel, teaching us from the way the Lord spoke to him, concerning purification and white. But it didn't stop. It says, white and tried. That is where the hardness of soldier comes. All of you are tried, isn't it? If not, you won't be sitting here. All of you are tried. There are times the enemy, your flesh, want to tell you, enough is enough. Let's take a gap. Let's don't go to church. Let's take a gap. My brethren, anything, anyone, any thought, tells you it is okay, it is not from Holy Spirit. Show me one scripture where the Lord allowed his children to be separated by themselves. One scripture, show me. Let's talk. With hunger and thirst. God would never do that. Because he's all about bringing together, not dividing. His separation is different. His separation is divine, mighty, powerful. None of us can understand. So now, we read Daniel. I want all of us to look at this video. I will speak because this social media platforms, they sense the video and they sometimes they block the video. So Brother Joel will help to capture the screen. If you can't see, you can turn off one row of light. I want all of us to focus on this video. Before you play, I prepared something based on the Lord's creation, because let's don't go too further. His creation is still speaking sermons to all of us, because it was made by Him. It's still pure. It still glorified the name of the Lord. Amen. It was us who fell from that glory. So now, when the Bible says the Lord compared Himself with lamb, compared Himself with lion, compared Himself with eagle and dove, why? He could not compare Himself with us. That lion, that lamb, that eagle, that dove, or all the animals that you read in scripture, they don't have the sixth sense or free will or permissive will to plan something to go against God. They would just eat and live and reproduce and die. That's all. All that it knows was survival. Even a lion hunting its prey was not originally in the beginning. The Bible says they were eating green herbs in the book of Genesis. You read. Death came, killing came, all because of men. Because everything was created to be subdued by Adam. Adam was the creation of God that was above all. But now, a small bacteria, a small virus that is cannot be seen, can kill you. See how weak we became? You know how funny it is? The Lord created you as the highest of His creation on earth, but now you can be killed by anything that you can't even see your enemy. Cold, oh, I'm dying. Oh, stress, oh, I die. Oh, mental dip, I go jump from the building. Die for no reason. How come we reach that state? Even the shell of a crocodile is stronger than your skin. It can carry, it can handle some, you know, strong hit, but you can't take it. Even a small ant can carry 13 times more than its weight. I can't even carry myself on the steps. How come we fell to such a level of weakness? How come we could get killed by animals, diseases, mental pain, stress? Why we reached that state? Animals also die. But the beauty is, whatever the example the scripture uses from Old Testament to New Testament, the Lord always put the creations in the center, because He knows times will change, people will change, buildings will change, technologies will come, but that dog will still bark. It won't roar. That cat will still say meow. It won't roar. Whatever the animals you see in the scripture, how it was described in the time of Noah, are still the same, with the same attitude. Why? God needs to establish how consistent He is in all the creation. The mountain proclaim His glory. The sea, they are giving the same sound for all these years. We became giving so much sound of brass over time. So now the Lord wants us to look at the purity from a child that is not polluted yet. When it grows, it becomes like us. But the animals, they are naked but still beautiful. They are completely naked, but you would never feel that they are naked. How come they embrace the beauty of God's, but we could not? So today I will show you a video of different stages of the unity of the Spirit in the migration of animals on the land, in the water, in the forest, on the water. Because birds fly on the air, they migrate from one season to another. Animals creepers are crawling, animals that walk on the beast that are on the floor, they also migrate from one place to another. But there is always a river in between, and they have to go through the river, isn't it? And they stay together, not because they are selfish. The truth is, they would never reach the destination without being together. Because the lions and the beast, they are all at the corners, they are waiting for one prey to come out of the flock, out of the pack, because it can hunt them when they are alone. But if they are together, the lion will think, what if all the bulls turn and show their sharp horn? What if the lion will be scared? But if you are alone, the lion will say, let four of us will go and bite the neck. That's it. Stop the blood flow. And in the water, there are different species of fishes, small fishes, that forms a schooling of fishes when they are hunted by big fishes, they don't know how to escape. They become a ball. They form a ball of fishes, like a school of fishes, and they run as fast as they can, as if the earth rotates. I'm telling you, it looks like an earth, a globe rotates. Earth rotates, you know, in the solar system. It rotates so fast, so that they think they will spread their sharp fins. When a big fish comes to eat, they will try to hurt the enemy, but the ones who are inside that ball are completely unharmed. But those who are outside the wall, they must endure the hardness. They might be killed. So the servants of God, some of them were killed, some of them were healed, some of them were redeemed, some of them were thrown out. But yet, the inside that ball, there was always a redeemed. Some fishes survived. And for that reason, the entire school of fishes, they were sacrificed. So now I'll play the video. I wanted to play a beautiful music of a song that resembles this video. I added to it. You play, I will speak, you know, as the Lord leads me. But I pray that you all, I should not watch the word, don't watch it, don't look at it, but reflect what you see. We are those people. Could the Lord compare us? Please, sister, you want this? Also, please cover me so that, yes. Let's look at what happens on the land first. So on the land, animals move for survival. They want to live. And if you look at this largest migration that was recorded in the history, this is one of them. One simple example. So all these cattle, they walk and they have to cross the river. The river flows very fast. The water current is very strong. And they all wait and they form a bridge. And they all follow that particular path. Everything waits. And you could see some fall, some gets injured, some hit each other. It is part of the journey. I might scratch you, you may scratch me. I can't escape from it. But the end goal is to live together, not to me only. In the forest, if you look at the butterfly, it's called monarch butterfly. When they become like a multitude, they could cover the entire forest, as if it looks like a leaf. And they fly here and there, but they'll die after some time. But they fly here and there as if the leaves of the forest were released from the tree branches and they fly here and there. You could even see some places it looks like literally the leaves of that forest. But they are lively creatures that can fly. Sometimes you don't try to be eagle, don't try to be dove. You can be a butterfly as long as you can fly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't have to premeditate. You see, it looks like a leaf, but it's a butterfly, full of butterflies. It forms an entire forest of butterfly wings. Now, this is a picture that shows how beautiful, you know, that unity, that they move together. Then, let's look at some birds, they go for hunting on the water and catch the fish that is on the shallow of the water. They are not walking on the land, but they are literally walking on water, like how Peter walked. And they move together for hunting, for migration, and they rest on the ocean because they are tired, their wings are weaker, they have no place to rest, so they simply sit on the ocean and they rest. After they recover, they fly again. You see, they simply sit on the water and they move together on the water. Amen? On the water. How beautiful the creation of God is. Now, this is on what will happen inside the water, under the water. Because they are hunting fishes, right? So what will happen to the fishes? Let's say in the water. Inside the water, you could see there are some fishes, they always move as a schooling. Like they can't see themselves separated. They are always part of the group. Because that is how they are created. And there is no leader, there is no follower. They communicate with one another with a high frequency. They can sense what everybody is going to do at the same time. And they move. And they become a shape. Now you see these fishes coming together. And I'm not showing the full video. They are going to be hunted later. That is fine. But these fishes, you could see they have a very sharp fin. They understand the threat. And they form a schooling. They form a ball of fire. Although they are in water. You could see the way they run as fast as they could. They swim as fast. And they form a ball of fire like this. They move like one big fish. they expand themselves to tell the enemy, we are big, don't come to us. Although they are small, we are big. And they move like this. Who taught them to move like this? Who is leading them? There is no queen, there is no king here. But they move as one. They understand each other. They know at any point of time how I'm going to look. They become a clay. Don't you see? It's nothing but a clay. It's nothing but a clay. And something is molding it. There is a communication among the school of fishes. And they become like a team. Now wait. I will finish second video also. Let's wait. So now, how these creations received the wisdom that we could not get? Because they can't think. Because they have no choice. Because they are not given the free will to exercise. All they know was eat, live, survive, and stay together. This example. And they migrate. They escape from the enemy. Last Sunday, we saw the crabs who were covering one another. They literally formed a bulletproof. And all the young ones, baby crabs, are hiding safely in the shelter. When you say, Lord, you are the strong tower, and your name, my brethren, you are the bricks in the strong tower. You are the bricks in the strong tower. He applied the mortar of his agape love. And he gave you the truth, the foundation, the pillar of the tower. You are the bricks. Don't think that you are staying inside the tower. You are part of that tower. Now I showed you four different towers. Tower on the land, tower that is in the forest, tower on the water, tower inside the water. Nothing but lively beings. Now, this is where the challenge comes in. Endure the hardness, right? When they move, the full documentary will show you some of the beasts, they would lose their eyes because of the horn that is next to the beast. Some of the beasts, they will have scratches, bleeding, as if they were attacked by a lion. But no, because they are walking together so tight and the narrow path is very tight and they have to go through the river. If they go alone, the water current will wash them away. Do you hear me? I'm not joking. You can go and check and study this. Every single beast that tried to cross the river alone, the water current was so strong, it wiped them off, washed them away. But these beasts, they stick together so that they can face the water current as a wall. The wall is moving under in the water in the river of Jordan. They move and they resist the enemy. They resist every other forces together and they get hit. They get hurt. When we work together as one family of God, our flesh, our carnal desires, our lack of understanding might hurt one another. But my brethren, none of us here have the intention that anyone should be perished. No one. I can tell you from the altar. I can say that. I know all of you are filled with the love of God. You want to serve the Lord. So do not misunderstand the family of God that they are trying to hurt me. Nobody has that intention. It's the journey that makes you to fall. When you fall, you may hit someone's horn. It's a journey when someone turns, he may scratch your back. But he is not that beast. He is not the enemy. He never meant to kill you. He or she never meant to destroy you. It's an accident in part of the journey. The Lord says, endure as a good soldier. Look at the intent. Focus on the fruit. What is the fruit? That green pasture, the promised land. Let's go together. What Apostle Paul said, not to me only, but all the love is appearing. Amen. Even the disciples of Christ, they might have so many things together, but the Lord says, come on, let's overcome together. You know, I'm from a family where there are two soldiers. One was retired, one died. My father's brother, my mother's brother. They had, you know, a lot of experiences, right? Sometimes they get injured by the soldiers in the same unit where the practice is going on. But they won't even think about it. They will go on, let's go. Oh, look at the sky because of you, man. See, I have 14 stitches because of you. Okay, let's go and play. Because they know the intent was not to kill you. The intent was not to destroy you. The intent was not to hurt you. The intent was never to destroy you. Understand the journey. The real enemy is outside. The lack of understanding. True understanding comes with a price. Endure the fellowship of his sufferings. Not just by attack by enemy. But there is a price we must pay when you go as one unit. Accepting one another. Trusting one another. Agreeing with one another. I can never move when I disagree. Now you saw four events, right? ask you a question. What if one beast in that journey, which are flowing, you know, they are going, you know, with so much strength and power, right? One beast decides to turn upside down, want to go in the opposite direction. Tell me what will happen. Other beasts may not even know that one of their own getting injured below their feet. Because they are running for survival. They don't know, right? They never want to destroy. If one of the fish tries to turn and try to swim opposite direction, you look at the speed, you look at the force, what will happen? We destroy ourselves. We will hurt ourselves. But it was never the intent of the Holy Spirit. That is exactly what happened to Naaman. Prophet Elisha loves Naaman. Prophet Elisha wants Naaman to be healed. Prophet Elisha wants him to find life. But Prophet Elisha cannot please the flesh of Naaman. Prophet Elisha is called to serve the Spirit of God. He said what the Spirit said. He did not go out and say, "Oh Naaman, sorry, did I offend you? What do you want? You want to do this way? Okay, let me go and do this way." Colossians 1:10. If you start serving men, you will never be the servant of Christ. But yet, if you say, "I will only serve Christ, I won't serve anyone," you will never be a servant of Christ. There is a balance. There is a subtle, thin line, known only to Him. You submit. Now, let's go to the second one. Now, you think from a different perspective. Because Aaron is a central point of our learning. He's a vessel from whom we are learning. By God's grace. The scripture says, Aaron bears the iniquity of holy things on his forehead. Remember, forehead represents your mind. Correct? What you think. What you become. And the breastplate represents your heart. What you carry. Your thoughts. Your intents. Your abundance. And there are 12 stones. Aaron carries everything. So literally, Aaron is standing. The Lord sees Aaron. 12 stones. 12 tribes of Israel. Okay. Urim, Tumim, inside your fold. Okay. So which means you subject to my command. Okay. Gold plate on your forehead. Okay. Which means you are willing to bear the iniquity of my children. Praise the Lord. You are the high priest for my foe, for my flock. And Jesus Christ did all, but he was given a crown of thorns. What is a crown of thorns? Aaron got golden plate. Oh, so beautiful. And Jesus got crown of thorns. Why the disciples forsook him? They were tested to the core. They thought Jesus would restore the kingdom of Judah. They thought Jesus would unite Judah and Israel like David did. But they didn't know that he is going to do it, but in an opposite way. Upside down. Do you hear me? He did everything upside. He claimed power by coming simple. He received all the authority by coming simple as a lamb of sacrifice. He did not come as a lion to roar. He will come as a lion to roar. But he knows the time. So now, evangelism. The servants of Naaman, they spoke the right words at the right time with the right intent. If not, that word would have never found life in the life of Naaman. Do you hear me? You can tell the same thing. I'll challenge you. Let's go to the bus station, MRT, and say, "Oh, repent and be baptized." And we wait for 5,000 to be baptized. Nobody would turn to us if the Spirit is not in us. But suddenly some 7-year-old child comes and say, "Repent and be baptized." Everybody say, "Lord, forgive us, Lord. Lord, forgive us, Lord." You would see, no, it's not about you. It's not about who are you. It's all about the vessel filled with the Spirit of God. Whoever it is. So, the Spirit of God needs a vessel where God's name is glorified. It does not need a man or woman who can live up to God's expectation. None of us can do that. No one. So now with this burden, imagine the land wherever we are planted. Sister Greta, Norway, Brother Bayo, Japan, Sister Chia, Philippines, and all the brethren, Sister Anna, Darwin, Australia. There are so many of us joining. All of us here in the land of Singapore. The Lord says, from dust you came, to dust you shall return. Amen? Let's say we are the dust. Because the book of Daniel says, from dust many shall awake, they will come up. Correct? Chapter 12, book of Daniel. It says, many shall awake from dust. But not stop there. Some to eternal life and some to everlasting contemplation. They won't get what they were supposed to get. How? I was meditating this because this I was supposed to show last Sunday, but the Lord moved me to keep it for this Sunday. I was meditating on Lord's seeds, how the Lord attracts His seeds. I was meditating on this and the Lord blessed me to, by reminding me, When I was a small boy in the primary school, we used to play a game. All my friends, we go and buy a magnet. It's a very famous game in our school. Every one of the students will have a magnet in the pocket. It's a game. So we will hide the metal hook or metal particles. Big playground with a full of sand. It's a volleyball, basketball, football ground. We go and hide all the metal particles. It's a very big playground. Then you'll form teams. Team A, Team B, Team C from different classes. In the lunch period, not a school game. It is our own game. We keep our magnet in a stick, like a metal detector. And a lot of things will be hidden in that sand, in the sand, a very big field. The team who find all the metal, all the that thing to be attached to the magnet, they will calculate the time. And we will announce the winner, and that one will have to buy lunch for us. Students' game. And we also do the game, we keep the magnet under our bag, and we put all the sand. Then we, you know, shake the sand. Everything will fall off from the bag, and those metal particles will be attached to the magnet. So you can separate the magnet's metal particles, iron, from the dust that won't stick to the magnet, right? So when I remember this, I was blessed in my heart. And the Lord says, 7 church ages, I refine you, purify you, wash you, shake your ground, and make you to be tossed and thrown for what? For you to be attached to the magnet, the chief cornerstone. But he do it in a way that you would never understand. You can only believe and work with him. So I'm going to show you a video. I want all of you that it is etched in your mind. Every single dust and the particle, it should reflect you. And it should reflect the people whom you want to be saved. And it should reflect the people of the land. And that magnet, the truth, the Lord attracts his people in his own time. He attracts. It may look time-taking, he's tarrying. It may look like something, an accident. But if you look deeply, if you slow down, I'm going to show you a slow motion video of how a magnet attracts particle that is flying on the air. And from there, we will extend it to dance of a group of birds that is flying on the air. And from there, we will move on to the scripture where it says, Aaron shall bear the iniquities of the holy things upon his forehead. If the scripture says, oh, conform to the image of God that is here, do his work, do what he said, do what he said, do what he said, you will look like him, you will speak like him. How do we understand? Body of Christ is a body of Christ. Fingers, eyes, ears, head, you know, legs and hands. There are different functions, different members of the body. Amen? The Bible says there are different parts of the body, different members of the body, different functions of the body, but all by same spirit. This little finger moved by my brain. And this whole arm is also moved by my brain. But there's a small tiny ligament here, an unsung hero. If I break it, my whole hand is gone. Forget about the bone. If you think, I don't want to be the feet, you go to a traffic signal, a big lorry is coming, you're walking, suddenly the feet says, I'm not moving. Oh, you say, I'm so intellect. Okay. I'm so strong. Look at my biceps. Look at my calf muscles. I'm so strong. Okay. The feet says, I'm not moving. The lorry will run over you. Every single part of the body, wonderfully, fearfully, miraculously made. No one is lower, no one is higher. But there is one who is higher, the head, the mind of Christ, the face of the church, Jesus Christ. Amen? How he wants us to conform to his image, we can learn from Aaron. The whole video is about Aaron, but Aaron is a type to Jesus Christ. Amen? So, yes, let's play. Let's focus on the dust is you. Amen? How the Lord saved you in the time. Look at the slow motion and reflect on what's happening to our life. Believe in all good things. Seeds, dust of the earth. When the Lord shakes the foundation, many fall on the right and left. Both those that are closer to the magnet, closer to the attracting field, they are attached to the magnet and they are not falling to the ground. The word of God would never fall to the ground. Amen? Now look at the different angle of the slow motion. I'm just trying to slow down the grace period for us to understand. Because grace is time. Amen? The Lord has given you time. If he slows down, you will see what he is doing. It may look like an accident. Hey, why this dust is not attracted? Why this is not attracted? The one which is closer, which is drawn closer. As we sing the song, draw me nearer, Lord. Draw me nearer, Lord. For what? If you are far away from Him, you will fall to the ground. Not a joke. There is a territory of God's presence. You must be inside the temple. You must be inside His presence. Spiritually, I'm speaking, not the physical sense. You see the way they are attracted. They conform to His image. Whatever the shape of that magnet, that dust doesn't take any shape. They go and cover Him. They become like a garment of Him. In whatever the shape He comes, healer, we become the healer together. Evangelist, we become evangelist. Whatever that He wants to do, He makes us to become, to conform to Him. Look at the birds. Looks very similar to those black color iron metal particles. If I just try to throw in the air and let them fly like the birds, same, right? Exactly the same. Looks very same. But they are birds, not the magnetic particles. But both the videos, that dust remains the same. The only difference is the previous one had no life. This one is full of life. Very similar to the ball of fishes, they move as one. Now tell me, can you see any bigger bird here? Anyone? Can you see any mighty, bigger king in the group? Anyone? Do you see any chief captains or anyone to tell, turn to right, turn to left? Do you see any taxi driver here? They fly here and there, but it sounds like an orchestra, right? It sounds like a visual orchestra. So beautiful. As if a piece of cloth, fine linen cloth, flew in the air and the wind is, you know, playing a symphony of orchestra. They are dancing in the air, but no leader. If you study the documentary, they communicate by making sound. They communicate by making sound. They speak to one another by making sound. And that frequency makes them move as one unit. You may say they are going crazy. Oh yes, this is nothing but the 40 years of wilderness in a short span of time. The multitude of Israel, they were going here and there. But for you, you want to go from point A to point B. For the Lord says, I'm running a dance show. Just sit and relax. Enjoy the dance show. The life of God is dancing in the air. The Spirit of God was hovering upon the waters. You remember? Now let's apply this to the high priest Aaron. What if, pass at the verse, yes. Those black particles, if they become the particles of light, and if the Lord threw everything in the sky, in the space, and if they conform to show the high priest, Aaron, because he bear the iniquity of the holy things, isn't it? All the same dust, on the right side looks like a scattered stars, on the left side looks like a beautiful face of someone, isn't it? None of us know how Aaron looked, but that doesn't matter. Look at the lesson here. A high priest's face was conformed by the dots. When the Lord showed Abraham, look at the stars. Oh, so beautiful, Lord. Okay, count the stars. How can I count? That is how much children I will give you and I will take from you. Stars in the sky, dust in the earth, birds in the air, fish in the sea, everything speaks sermons of what He said. They move as one. Not only me, Lord, but all that of them, the love is appearing. He will appear on the cloud in a mighty way, like how the high priest is seen here. But the judge will come. Not as high priest, he will come as a righteous judge. He will come. He will appear. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. That doesn't mean they are all the servants of God. What Daniel said? Many will be awake from the dust. They were sleeping. Some to everlasting life. Some to condemnation. And who are we? Wise virgin or foolish virgin? Who are those wise virgins? They are the servants of Naaman. They agree together, because the Bible says not one servant. Remember, servants of Naaman, they agree together. There is a bondage upon Naaman. Whether there are two or more gathered in my name, whatever they shall agree, it shall come to pass. Whatever they disagree, it shall come to pass. Whatever they bind, it shall come to pass. Whatever they lose, it shall come to pass. Why? When there is unity of the Spirit, the dance of the birds look like a, what is this shape? What is this? The Lord would say, they are dancing to my tune. They are doing the work of me. may look like a foolish things of the world. What do you want? No, I wanted to see a Lion of Judah in the cloud. You can have some drones. The drones can do what you want to do. Lifeless thing. But we can't control the group of birds. They listen to the life. So birds speak what the Lord said. Fishes speak what the Lord said. Animals do what the Lord said. Now it is our turn, right? And tell the Lord we can do by suppressing, submitting, overcoming our free will, our permissive will, and to submit to the perfect will of God. Amen? So now we learn from the creation of God, and we learn from the evangelism, the redemption of the Lord's seeds, how the Lord says, He shake the foundation, we are all tossed and thrown. The Lord is closer to broken heart and contrite spirit. That is the slow motion video that you saw. Those who are far from Him on the right, those who are far from Him on the left, they might have performed healing, miracle, this and that, but they fall to the ground and they say, we healed this and that. The Lord says, I never knew you. And those who are closer to Him, they were attracted because there was a presence around the magnet. Amen? I'm sure all of you know how magnet works. There is a field. It's called magnetic field. If the metal particle is out of that field, it won't be attracted. It has to be near that field. The lame who was healed, he was sitting at the beautiful gate. He was not sitting 10 kilometers away. And he didn't put a post saying that, my name is the lame who was lame from I was born. I am available from this time, 6 to 7 p.m. at this place. 8 to 9, I'll be somewhere here. You know, if you want to meet me, you can come and heal me at my place. That part, that dust, that metal has to be at that field. Could not go inside. Peter and John came and said, let's go inside. He was attracted. He became a testimony of Christ. Field, presence of the Lord. Draw me nearer, Lord. Of course, spiritually. We could be physically in the church, but spiritually far away. We could be physically far away, but spiritually inside. The Lord knows. The Lord knows our strength and weakness. He weighing all of us. Now, with this, let's turn 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 15. Verse 15 to 19. Zoyal, please read for us. 2 Kings, chapter 5, verse 15 to 19 first. Then please stand. We will read from 20 to 27 later. Thank you, brother.
And he returned to the man of God and all his company and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way.
Four verses, the final settlement between Naaman and Prophet Elisha. Naaman received healing. He wanted to give something back to the prophet because he made a mistake. Correct? He wants to do restitution. He wants to complete reconciliation. He wants to ask for forgiveness and he wants to give an offering. If the prophet receives it, he would be satisfied. The Lord, forgive me for what I did. So he went to Prophet Elisha and trying his best to convince him. Because he returned to the man of God. The prodigal son returned to the father. Amen? The prodigal son turned aside, he returned to the father. When? When the understanding came in. And he and all his company. Who was his company? the true servants who pulled Naaman out of this valley. The true servants. I call them as true because they don't take sides. They choose love and they choose good and they obey. Because these true servants of Naaman, they blessed what Elisha said to be fulfilled in the life of Naaman. Because Elisha spoke, Naaman said, but he didn't listen. He turned aside. But the servant spoke, Naaman listened. Abimelech, I told you last Sunday, was not healed by God. He was healed by the prayers of Abraham. We should understand scripture, how the Lord works. Now, in brother read, this verse says, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, verse 16. It's here, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 15 to 27. Verse 16. As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, the same Naaman stood before the door of the house of Prophet Elisha. But he did not say that before the Lord I stand. Now he say, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. Who is saying this? Prophet Elisha is telling. You stood before my house, you spoke angrily, you left. I stand before the Lord. Elisha says, I stand before the Lord, as the Lord liveth, and I say, I shall receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Elisha says, I can't take it. It's like the disciples, apostles, they persuaded Apostle Paul not to go, but they could not persuade him, so they let him go. Because God's word cannot be stopped. Amen? No one can stop. Verse 17, and Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servants 2 mules burdens of earth? For the servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. The true healing Naaman received. I will serve and sacrifice only the Lord, not to any other god. That is the true healing from leprosy that Naaman received. Jesus said, woman, sin no more. That is the true deliverance. Not saving her from being stoned to death. That is temporary deliverance. But the permanent deliverance is for the Lord to save her from eternal damnation. So now, focus on verse 19. He said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. So, Prophet Elisha says, Naaman, it's all okay, man. It's all part of God's work. You realize, you understood, I'm happy for you. That is my gift. I don't want anything else. Go in peace. When a servant says, go in peace, he says, shalom. Isn't it? Shalom, the wholeness of God be with you all. May the fullness of God lead you. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. Shalom, go in peace. So, one who was the vessel of God, I use the word God here. The Lord wanted to speak the word, and that word is here. Naaman refused to take it. And servants of God, they took it and passed it to Naaman. Eat it. Naaman, eat it. Don't spit out. He ate that food. What is the food? The word. And Naaman was healed. Correct? Now the most dangerous journey of this process is not the house of Prophet Elisha. It's not the place where Naaman stood with his horse and chariot. It's the distance Gehazi took it from point A to point B. That is the most dangerous part. Because you look very carefully, God healed Naaman. Elisha spoke, he could not persuade him. Servants of God spoke, Naaman received. And Gehazi is watching all of this. Correct? Correct? Now Naaman says, forgive me, prophet. He wants to give some gift to reconcile, to complete the restitution, to make things straight. But Elisha says, don't try to do things in your own way. It is well. You realize it's a gift for me. Go in peace. He still could not persuade Prophet Elisha. Because Prophet Elisha did not ask him. My brethren, never think that you can run behind before the ark. Did Prophet Elisha said, oh, you came back? You realized after the mistake? Okay, what do you do? Bring me this, bring me that. If the Lord wanted him to do that offering, Prophet Elisha would have spoken that in the first place. If he didn't say that, which means it is not necessary. So Naaman wants to say something. Lord, I became disquiet. My feet is not standing firm. I won't do this. Let's just say, go in peace. Shalom. And that shalom rested upon his head and Naaman left. The chapter should have ended there. Right there. Same as Korah rebellion ended. Right there. But the true chapter begins after that. That's the problem. The rebellion of Korah was compared to the seventh thing that the Lord hates. Sowing discord. Abomination. Why? 14,700 by killed by one single man. Isn't it? 14,700 killed by one single man rebellion. Who was able to successfully introduce his thoughts and spread everything. You know, all those false ministries, false denominational churches who think that they are growing fatter, bigger, millions of people. You know the threat that they are into? I saw a picture many years ago. It's like if you are a false minister standing here and there is a wooden plate or wooden foundation stand here, but actually you are standing in a cliff. Because there are many people are following you, many, countless, and there is fire below your feet. It's just a matter of time. Until the Lord redeems his from this group, this wooden piece will be still there. If the people move aside from the wooden piece, this false vessel will fall into the fire, correct? Because it's a zigzag. Go up and down, right? Many are holding one because they follow him. They don't know what they're doing. And the Lord is bringing truth to them. It is better he run to the shelter along with them, right? If he decides to stand where he stands, thinking that people are following him, but below his feet there is shallow. Below his feet there is burning fire. The moment all the people jump from that wood, for me there is no one to hold me. I will fall into the fire, isn't it? That picture speaks a lot. I saw it many years ago. Thank the Lord for reminding me now. This can happen to any of us. Any of us. We may think we serve God because of the Lord's children in our lives. He's keeping us, showing us grace and mercy. Naaman was here. Servants of Naaman, they dragged him to this side. Come. They dragged him. Not forcing, not arguing. Did you see any argument in the discussion when Naaman's servant spoke to him? They simply spoke the truth and the seed receded. They did not beg him. They did not force him. Salvation would never come by forcing. It's a free will submission. Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. So now, there are people who are sick, who need healing. Correct? And there are people the Lord used to send the healing. Correct? But the one who heals is here. The Spirit of God is here. So now, this vessel is doing the work, pleasing God, not the man. Correct? But there is one in the center, Gehazi. He represents the type of ministries. Whether you are a good ministry, whether you are a good soldier or bad soldier. So now, what is the role of Gehazi? Elisha says, pass this message to him. Correct? John the Baptist was here in the prison. Jesus was here, outdoor, a prophet. He sent a message to his child. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. Pass the message to my child, he will receive it. Lord, how do you know? My child, my son, my daughter will receive the food of life. He knows. I have taught him well. Correct? The Lord's confidence. The Lord has trust in you. He has confidence in you. We should not lose it for one another. Never. So this prophet sent a servant to the child, and that child can become the servant, and this servant can become the child. True. You think you are working for the Lord, someone is working on you. You think you are serving the Lord, someone is serving you. You think you are bringing healing, someone is praying for your healing. You think you are delivering someone is delivering you. You are always in the pack, in the same furnace. If the Lord makes a beautiful vegetable soup, all the vegetables are in the same pot. He is boiling every one of us. We hit one another. And we believe in all good things. And everything works together for good. And the Lord looks at the pot. If some vegetable trying to jump, it will jump and fall. But the Lord says, stay, endure the hardness. Endure the hardness. Naaman could not endure. He was angry. And servants endured and they showed love. He saved. Now, this Gehazi, what is the meaning of his name? Anyone remember? The valley of vision. That's the meaning of his name, given based on his life. It's like, I will show you the vision, how deep it is. Can you see? Yes, I can see. Don't fall into it. That is why I showed you. You know, I always rejoice when the Lord speaks to David, he sent Prophet Nathan. You know, it's like a father is playing game. Prophet Nathan goes and tells David, come. Hey, prophet to prophet, yeah? I will tell you some story. You listen, okay? Okay. This man came, that man came, he did so many bad things to him. David said, oh, what an evil man. Oh. Okay? Prophet Nathan, thou art the man. You see how the Lord hit you hard? He will heat, warm up the sword, wait for the axe, what is it, a big hammer. He wait for the right time, and he say, yeah, you're right. That man is evil man. Yeah, I agree with you. Thou art the man. He hit you on the head. We may think the message is for someone, the Lord would say, for you. We may think that brother needs healing, the Lord would say, thou need healing. We may think they need lesson, the Lord would say, thou needs a lesson. Start from within. Never think the light is shining brighter from your garment. The light must shine from deep within. Judgment of the Lord begins from the house of God. Now you read Gehazi. It's applicable to all of us. We can be anyone in these characters. Please read, brother, from verse 20 to verse 27. We read from 20 to 27. Yes. I missed the red color. I don't know where it is.
Verse 20.
Yes.
But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said,
Be content.
Take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments, and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand, and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in, and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and oliveyards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and menservants and maidservants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever.
Forever.
And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow.
Amen. Thank you, brother. There was no 7 days period given to Naaman, but Naaman was healed. But now there was a period given to Gehazi. It's called forever. What happened here? This is very important for all of our lives. Gehazi, the valley of vision, the Lord showed him several times. This did not happen in that particular event. Gehazi did some mistakes in the past, but he didn't learn the lesson. A servant of Prophet Elisha, and he saw Naaman refused, and Naaman still healed. You could see Jonah, Prophet Jonah here. You could see the disciples of Christ who went to the Samaritan village. They were speaking about the Lord, and the people did not receive them. And they told Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray thee, give us the permission. We will bring fire down from the heaven and we will destroy all of them. You will see them here. And you will see those people that say, Lord, we healed, we cast out demons, we did this and that. And the Lord says, I never knew you. We see all the group here. And the Lord says, your lips speak so many things about me, but your heart is far away from me. You could see all here. Why? After the prophet said, go in peace, this servant wanted to be smart, more intelligent, more independent, more in his own way. He wanted to do something on his own. Now, in this passage, you think Gehazi received something, right? For us, it's not money. For us, it is validation, satisfaction, a time to fellowship and gossip, a time to justify our actions. And that Gehazi is the flesh that is in all of us. You don't go and ask someone, give me money. But rather, you would ask someone, I have this confusion, just make sure that I'm on the good side. And you would speak to them, and they will validate your ideas because they might be in the same flesh. Now, what would have happened if Gehazi told Prophet Elisha, Master, can I do this? Tell me what Prophet Elisha would say. Nay. Correct? As simple as that. Nay. But did Gehazi ask Prophet Elisha's approval? No. Did Gehazi ask Prophet Elisha's advice? No. Why? Because instead of showing himself to the prophet, he wanted to do everything on his own. You know how dangerous it is? Remember, Book of Acts chapter 4 and chapter 5 talks about this. When Ananias and the wife and Apostle Peter said, all of them laid everything at the feet. Why you are hiding something and doing something on your own? Ananias said, is it? I don't think so. Apostle Peter spoke, he died on the spot. Wife came, Apostle Peter spoke, he died on the spot. Was it money? No. The Lord gave an instruction to trust and obey, to see who they are, who we are. Gehazi and Ananias and the wife, Gehazi and the disciples who were rebuked by the Lord says, you do not know what spirits that you are in now. The Lord said, right? The Lord said this. Jesus Christ said this to his disciples. So servanthood, how we serve the Lord, comes with a challenge. Yourself. And if Gehazi asked Elisha, he would not have gone to Naaman. The sickness that was healed, from where it came? Tell me, from where it came? Book of Leviticus says, the plague that disappeared broke out again. Correct? The garment was washed, but the plague came again. Correct? The high priest says, I broke all the stones, applied the right mortar, I put the right mortar, right stones, and I built everything properly. 7 days later, the plague came again. From where? It's waiting somewhere. To host someone. To have dominion over someone. The dark cloud is waiting for a shelter. It's like an organism that needs a host for it to live. So Naaman was healed, but the leprosy, the plague was standing somewhere. Imagine a dark cloud is roaming here and there, looking for a host. Like how Jesus said, oh, all the demonic spirits go to the swine. And they went in the swine, legion is 2,000, and they all went into the sea and died, right? They were looking for a host, something to kill. Murderer from the beginning, liar, father of all liars, from the beginning, right? So now this plague clave unto Gehazi. Why? Gehazi was screaming, I'm here. Plague, where are you going? I'm here. Come and take me. Let me be your spectacle. And like I said, forever. Good act, good service, but anything against the word of God, even if it is beautiful, even if it is light, even if it is peace, Isaiah says, woe unto him who say peace when there is no peace. Woe unto him who show light when there is supposed to be darkness. That is not a curse. That's a warning. The Lord can come with a pillar of cloud. He would say, I want everything in the night time. So they can see my light. I am the only light. That is darkness. Good darkness. But if you show light to everyone, if they don't show darkness, if they don't know darkness, instead of the true light to see them, we become our own light like these lamps. Artificial ones. So what Gehazi did was not an act of emotion. One chapter before, as I close. chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 27. I'll quickly run through the story. The woman had gone through some problem. She came to the prophet for the healing of her child. The child died. And the prophet is going to heal the child. That's what I wrote here. The prophet is going to heal the child. I did not put the name here because Jesus did this. Peter did this. Elijah did this. Elisha did this. And the Spirit of God did this to all of us. You are dead. Quickened. Amen? But they did in different ways. Correct? They all did in different ways. But the result was life. Elijah did different ways. He stretched himself. Elisha did different ways. He sneezed 7 times. They all did different ways. Those who are so stiff, this has to be this way, they would fall. Correct? Because the Spirit will do new things. And here, the woman comes and holds the feet of Elisha, same as the woman who had the blood issue. She touched the tip of the garment of Jesus Christ. Now this woman, she holds the feet of Elisha and she cries unto him, "Heal my son." And verse 27 is the introduction of Gehazi. You read this chapter in your own time. I will read the few verses here. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill. So where was the man of God? On the hill. When Naaman came, where the man of God? Inside the house. Isn't it? So you can meet the Lord up in the hill. You can meet the Lord inside the house of the Lord. And the Lord called all of you, lighthouse set on the hill. It cannot be hidden, you know, under the table. So now, hill, fine. She caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her. Hey, what are you doing? Don't disturb my master. The prophet is here. Don't touch him. Don't do this. Disciples of Christ told Jesus, these people in Samaritan village, they are not receiving us. Looks like they have no Holy Ghost. So, looks like they are not seeds of God. So, let us bring fire from heaven and burn them down. That's what our forefather Elijah did. We are the gangsters of Elijah. And Jesus said, greater is he standing in front of you. You don't even know what spirits that you are of now. The Lord told this to them. And here, Gehazi thrust her away, and the man of God said, let her be alone. Which means, the servant do not know the intent of the master. Correct? If the servant knows, he would have done nothing. He would know the master will embrace her. But say, hey, don't do this. I'm very strict, you know. I'm very firm. I'm very harsh. I'm like a soldier. The soldier of this world is not the soldier of his kingdom. So now, when Gehazi said this, man of God says, let her be alone. Her soul is vexed. Don't you see this? Her soul is vexed within her. Can't you see this? And the Lord has hid it from me. The Lord even hid it. I don't even know why. Look at the transparency, truthfulness of the prophet. The prophet says, I don't know, man, what she is going through. Who will say in this time? All the churches, they say, I know in and out of you. Are you sure? Known only to him. And the prophet says, the Lord showed me there is a burden in her. I'm praying for her, but I don't know what is the burden. I don't know what is the problem, but there is a burden. I can feel the burden. Servanthood. Why you need answer? Daniel says, Lord, you said something, seal. Can I know what is inside? Daniel, go thy way. Get out. Not for you. Do we do the work of the Lord to test it or to serve him? That is what Daniel told teachers. Correct? The Lord told Daniel, seal it. I see it, but since I am the one to seal it, can I please open it and see what is inside? The Lord says, Daniel, you can't open it. Go thy way. What God has shut, no one can open it. So now, in his time. So now, the man of God says, the Lord has not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? She said it in the past, when the prophet gave her the blessing. That is our life. We ask for healing. The Lord gives us healing. When the sufferings come, we say, did I ask you in the first place? Did I ask you to save me? Did I ask you to visit me? Why did you save me? I'm very angry. Your anger means nothing. What will you do? Scream on the road? Run from Changi to Jurang East? I'm angry. What will you do? Not even a bird will listen to us. And she's angry. Did I ask you? Do not deceive me. How can a prophet of God will deceive? And she says, and the prophet Elisha is not speaking to her. Do you see the prophet? He speaks to the servant. Why? She is not in a state of listening. She is moaning, crying, angry. Correct? But yet, the prophet was not angry. He speaks to Gehazi. He says, my servant, Take my stuff in the hand. Take my word. Take my truth. Have my spirit in your life. Take it in your hand, in your works, in your garment. And go thy way. Daniel, go thy way. I'm not saying, I'm not revealing to you. I have plans for you, different plans for you, different fruits for you. You will fulfill, but not this, this is not for you. The Lord saved Daniel, right? And here the Lord says, prophet says to the Gehazi, go thy way. Which way? You know the way. The child is dead. Go and place the staff upon the child. You see the beautiful discernment of spirit here. Now, did the prophet say the child will come to life? Did he say that? Did he say that? Read what the scripture says. He says, go, take my staff in thine hand. If thou meet any man, if you face any flesh, don't respond. If thou meet any man, don't salute. Don't let them to have dominion over you. If thou meet anyone or anything, do not salute. If you salute, answer him not again. Don't fall again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. Face of the child. So the prophet gave the staff to the servant, and the servant go and place the staff on the child. So the Lord saved all of us through some of his servants in some of his time. They all came and placed some staff on our side. The staff, the rod of his comfort, the staff of his truth, the Aaron staff that guide the sheep. Amen? The truth, the revelation given to all of us so that we can hold and walk. Correct? Without the staff, we can't walk. We are lame. The truth. Now, this servant, instead of rejoicing in the healing or just fulfilling the commandment, he wanted something. What is that? Look at verse 30. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. What? God told Abraham, don't worry, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Moses told God, God, if you don't lead me in your presence, I'm not going with you. And this mother tells the prophet, I'm not leaving you. I will never leave you. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them. So Gehazi running before them because he's strong. He's a sprinter, runner. He runs fast. Go fast. Like the disciple who came with Peter. And the two servants, Cushai and one more. Ahinoaz who ran faster to pass a message to David. But the servants of God, they receive the message when the right time comes with the right people. Correct? Not because of who is faster, but because who came at the right time. Now, he went fast. He laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice, no healing, nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him. So, which means he ran so fast to the point whereby he laid the staff, he ran back and told Elijah, oh, you're coming? Slowly, it's okay. I could do things faster. You know, I did everything, but the child is not alive. How can a child be alive? Prophet Elisha never said that. He simply said, take the staff, place it on the child's face. That's all. He didn't say anything else. The prophet did not say. Because Gehazi says, I told him saying the child is not awake. When should he say that the child will be awake? He never said that. Which means you wanted this. So the true trap was not Naaman. Naaman also thought something. But Gehazi was always thinking about something. It was always with him, in him, deeply. And it was uncovered by the trap of Naaman, the seed of God. He came as a sick, a spectacle. But the truth was, he's like a police officer who came and arrested Gehazi of his weakness. So now, he says, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them in twain and prayed unto the Lord, and he went up. Did Gehazi pray, my brethren? Did anyone see in your scripture that Gehazi prayed? He laid the staff on the face and looking for a miracle. But the prophet Elijah never told him that he will be awake. Now, prophet Elijah prayed and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hand upon his hands. He stretched himself upon the child. Do you remember all those dust, magnetic particles, metal, iron? They all came and attached to the magnet, because the magnet attracts. Amen? Attracts. They form a shape, not their own shape, of how the magnet is. So prophet Elisha is doing the work as the spirit leads him. But instead of doing what Elijah did, he did something opposite. It's also a test for all of us. The Lord will do things in his own way. Do not premeditate. Do not fix your mind. He will break you. If you are stiff, he will break you. Don't be broken. Be the water. And the child waxed warm. The flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro. For what? He walked in the house to and fro. What is he doing? what this magnet is doing. And went up and stretched himself upon him on the child's knees 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. The flesh waxed warm first, but the life came after he did this 7 times. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. And so he called her, and when she was coming unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Naaman came, received healing, went out. But Gehazi did not follow her that time. But this time he could not control himself. I want something. I want some talent. I want some garment. I want something from Naaman. This prophet is so full. He simply ignored what the Lord gave him. That's Lord's blessing, man. Take it. Let me go and spend my money on my own. Then why there's an apostle? And why there's a prophet of God? Hiding behind the church is the beauty of the bride of Christ. Because the more we expose ourselves, you are inviting problems which you cannot solve. You are inviting troubles which you cannot face. Hide behind the scripture. Hide behind the master. The Jesus Christ, the prophet, the prophet. Remember, do not think you are here or you are here, you are here. You are everywhere. You are taught, encouraged, healed, pruned, rebuked, all at the same time. The Lord showed all of us the true sickness was not with the child. The true sickness was not with Naaman. The true sickness was with Gehazi. The ministry of God can serve the people, but yet the Lord would come and say, the people please me, the ministry grieve me. It's true. That's what happens. That's why people are so complacent. May the Lord bless us as we continue. The Lord will speak to our hearts. Remember this. Meditate on the scripture. On your own. Full chapter. So you will receive more. No, sermon is not just one time watching something or listening something. It's all about you. How you meditate. You need to chew the food. Then you can swallow. Don't swallow as it is. You will choke to death. Chew. Meditate. And all this. Let's remember. The word and the spirit is our life. Amen. Let's don't be confounded where do we stand. And how the beasts were moving together as one. They could scratch themselves. Doesn't mean they are the wolves. The Lord knows who are the wolves. And even the wolves are not the flesh and blood. It's a thing. A plague. It can come upon any of us. Any of us. Let's move together. And all those small scratches here and there. Nothing but scars in the battle. You can tell Lord. You know. Me and my brother is going for a battle. He took a sword to kill the beast. By mistake, he scratched my whole back. You see, he was laughing. Instead of telling, oh, brother, in fun. He was waiting to kill me. I knew it. Thank God I escaped. No, he didn't mean it. We are all weak people, needy people. Amen. The Lord is the only one who can take us to the other side. Let's all stand as I close. Thank you, Lord, the Lord who knows all things. And we know nothing, Lord. We all here just to know Christ. Jesus Christ, the true knowledge, the true understanding. Thank you, Lord. You are our salvation. You are our teacher. You are our redeemer. Help us to do your will with all our heart. Help us, Lord, to do everything according to your will and pleasure. Help us, Lord, to be sincere, to be humble. And help us, Lord, to move together as one family of God. We love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are all weak. But in our weakness, thy spirit will show us the strength. Amen. Flesh is weak, spirit is willing. And if we are willing and obedient, and we shall eat the good of the land. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.